You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
September the 21st, 2020, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who passed away Friday at age 87, will lie in repose at the Supreme Court Wednesday and Thursday, then a private service held next week at Arlington National Cemetery. President Trump today said, "I am ready to nominate someone to replace her now, but I want to wait in respect for Justice Ginsburg. I won't do it until Friday, maybe Saturday." But he is ready to move forward. And one of those being considered is Barbara Lagoa, 52 years of age, currently at the U.S. Court of Appeals, the 11th Circuit, on a short list, and she is Cuban and out of Florida, which might help on two counts for the president for this election, if he's trying to look at political points as well. In the meantime, former President Obama, in paying tribute to former Supreme Court Justice Ginsburg, is calling on Republicans, Senate Republicans, to follow the precedent he said you did when you refused to consider my nominee in 2016. That is when Obama was trying to replace Scalia. And that was a good 9 months before the election. And the attitude of Republicans at that time is that it should not be done in election year. We should let the next presidential election decide. The people have a voice in who goes on the court. Well, of course, now everybody's flip-flopping a little bit. At that time, Obama's saying, no, I should do it before the election. Republicans say, no, you shouldn't until after the election. Now the Senate is held by Republicans, as is the White House, and they say, we're ready to proceed. I'll also flash back to 2016, what Justice Ginsburg said at that time. At that time, when they were trying to get Merrick Garland was nominated by then lame duck President Obama, even Ginsburg said, there's nothing in the Constitution that says the president stops being the president in his last year. So she wanted to see Garland receive a confirmation vote before the election, before the election. But now her granddaughter says the last word she gave me was that she didn't want anyone to be named until after this coming election. In other words, she didn't want Trump to have the authority and power. Well, the progressives, represented by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, are now saying we have all options on the table to block any Supreme Court nominee confirmation that would include impeachment. What's that got to do with it? We'll impeach if you deliver articles of impeachment in the House and you send it to the Senate, then they're supposed to stop everything they're doing and deal with the impeachment issue. It's a very weak effort, but who knows what they'll try. President Trump had always said, if they try to do that, we will win. In the meantime, Republican Party shattering its previous fundraising record in the month of August, hauling in $67 million in August. Update on COVID and flu coming up. The U.S. closing in on a milestone of 200,000 deaths from COVID-19. More than half of the states are reporting an increase in cases, not deaths, in cases. Wisconsin, Idaho, South Dakota, Iowa, and Kansas. And, of course, if you follow the mainstream media, that means it's just going to get really, really bad. CDC is now saying that the flu season itself might be pretty mild because of all the measures to prevent the spread of COVID. There's a woman yet unidentified arrested at the Canadian border yesterday. She is suspected of being the one who sent to the White House a letter containing the deadly poison ricin addressed to President Trump. The letter originating in Canada. No word yet on this woman's citizenship. President Trump has approved a deal that would create a partnership between the Chinese app TikTok and Oracle and Walmart to manage the TikTok operation in this country. And listen, while we're trying to decide what to do about naming Ginsburg's replacement and when, why not let the left, the far elite, Hollywood elite, have their say? Documentary filmmaker, hard left activist Michael Moore says, to prevent Trump from filling the Supreme Court seat left by the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that Nancy Pelosi should shut down, just shut down the U.S. government. Shut it down. You think you've seen anarchy so far and in the streets? You ain't seen nothing yet. And there's more to come.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in, assess the situation at a very reasonable cost, and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, again, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We want to pay respect. It looks like we will have probably services on Thursday or Friday, as I understand it. I think, in all due respect, we should wait till the services are over for Justice Ginsburg. And so we're looking probably at Friday or maybe Saturday.
Words of President Trump. President Trump today appearing on Fox and Friends saying that, out of respect for Justice Ginsburg and her passing, I'm not going to name anyone until Friday, maybe Saturday. As I pointed out to you, she will lie in repose Wednesday and Thursday at the Supreme Court, and then there will be a private ceremony at Arlington for her later. And, of course, the battle lines are drawn. You have a Supreme Court vacancy. It is the plum of being a president to be able to appoint someone to the U.S. Supreme Court. They are appointed for life. And whatever their views are, if that's what you want on the court, that you think that would be best for the nation and the U.S. Constitution, then that's the opportunity a president wants to exercise. Obama really wanted to see Ruth Bader Ginsburg step aside when he was president. And she didn't. And then when we got into the election, when it came down to 2016, and Trump, of course, running against Hillary, at that time, she still said the president should make the determination during an election year, saying there's nothing in the Constitution that says the president stops being the president in his last year. That was because Obama was in pushing Merrick Garland to replace Scalia. Democrat leaders had no problem with Obama wanting that done, and neither did Ginsburg. But the Republicans said, no, we're not going to do it now. We're going to wait for the next election and let that new president decide. That was my opinion as well. We let the next president decide. Now, that was a lame duck president. Obama had no chance to run again. He was not running, obviously. He couldn't. That would be completing his eighth year. But the party itself was still going to be there. In this case, Trump can run again and is, after serving only 4 years. So there's that difference. And there's also the difference that this time around, the White House and the Senate are controlled by one party. I still take the position I think it should be properly done after the election, which means you better win the presidency again and the Senate. But I understand Republicans wanting to rush forward, and in fact, they can make a solid case for doing so, and I wouldn't argue against it. I'm just saying that I see the other side, I recognize it, but I'm not going to change my opinion simply because of the political win. But then comes a word from Senate GOP Conference Chairman John Barrasso. He says, yes, the president needs to move forward. And his explanation and reason why the motive is simple.
If the shoe were on the other foot and the Democrats had both the White House and the Senate, they would be confirming and trying to confirm right now. 29 times in the election year for the president, there's been a vacancy in the Supreme Court. And when one party controlled both the White House and the Senate, they went forward with that nomination and they were usually approved.
And he is correct. And in fact, if when Obama was in his closing months as president and the Scalia vacancy opened, I have no doubt that Obama and the Democrat Senate would have rushed forward with the nominee and approval. And they had plenty of, they had months, 8+ months at that time. We're now down to less than 45 days to the election. It could still be done because you have the party controlling the White House and the Senate are the same. So there won't be a lot of dickering. But the point will be, how many votes can the Senate Republicans hold? They have members of the Republicans already saying, not so sure I want to go forward like this. One of them, Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski, Arkansas, she thinks the same standard must apply to fill the Supreme Court vacancy as it did in 2016. So she's not in favor of holding a vote to fill the vacancy until the election is over. Maine Senator Republican Collins also falls to that category. So could the Republicans hold enough votes to move forward? And you'll hear the Republicans refer to the Biden rule as a reason as to why they should do what they're going to or what they want to do this time around. Senator Barrasso explaining the Biden rule.
This is the Biden rule. Joe Biden talked about this when he was chairman of the Judiciary Committee. When he told George Herbert Walker Bush there was a vacancy, Biden would block it because it was a Republican president and a Democrat Senate. So we're moving forward. I know what's going to happen. The president's going to make a nomination this week. Lindsey Graham is going to start hearings in the Judiciary Committee, and we will vote this year on that nominee.
So Ruth Bader Ginsburg, as I read to you a moment ago, in 2016, while Obama was president and the opening for Scalia opened up, she was in favor of it being done prior to the election. Let me take you back to what she said on a PBS interview when it came to election and a Supreme Court vacancy.
Whoever becomes president will have, when they arrive in the White House, an opportunity to appoint a new Supreme Court justice.
That's one scenario. Another possibility is after the
exactly.
election, the Senate will act.
What would you like to see the Senate do?
Well, I would like to see the court have a full House by the time this term ends.
In other words, go ahead and do it before the next election. And when she says a full court, She's talking about nine. The Supreme Court, and I've given you extensive history in the past, we'll get into a bit of it, but just let me preface it by saying there's no set number in the Constitution as to how many are needed for the U.S. Supreme Court. And that's why you hear some Democrats talking about stacking the Supreme Court. That if the Republicans under Trump and Mitch McConnell go through and get a nominee pushed through for Ginsburg before the November election, or before Trump would leave office, if he is leaving, then they, when they get in control, they will look to stack the Senate. Stack the Supreme Court. That they will add to the number of chief justices as a way to get more Democrats on. In other words, if Trump gets this appointment through, this would really push the court 6-3 conservative. And the way for the Democrats to get even said, well, we will now expand the number of justices to 11, maybe 12, or 13, or whatever we need to make sure we have control of Supreme Court decisions. And they are talking about other options as well. Senator Barrasso of Wyoming, Republican, says, you know what, really, really just doesn't make any difference what Republicans do this time. It really doesn't. Because what he says, and you're going to hear in the next statement, we can't appease them. There's nothing we're going to do that's going to make them happy and say, okay, we'll play along with you this time. There is nothing that he can put, or the Senate, the Republicans, or Trump can put in front of them, because they are so bound and determined to destroy the Trump presidency and remove him that there is nothing that will stop the Democrats from doing whatever they want, regardless of what little offer you might make for them. And I do believe Senator Barrasso is right about that.
Let me be very clear. If the Democrats win the White House and the Senate and have the House, they will change the rules. They will blow up the Senate. They have an entire war room working on this. They will expand the number of members of the Supreme Court, regardless of what the Republicans and President Trump do, if they get their way. Now, Ruth Bader Ginsburg said 9 is the right number on the court. She said they shouldn't expand the court. She said it makes it too political. But I will tell you, this is their plan. This is a pure power grab. And then they want to stack the Senate as well by expanding the number of states to include D.C. statehood with 2 new Democrat senators.
See, that's another consideration. The Democrats, that is one of their plans, and we're going to get into that in the next segment a little bit more detail for the progressives. They want more Democrats in the Senate. Quickest, fastest way is to make the District of Columbia give it statehood. Each state has 2 senators representing it. The D.C. would only get 1 representative, I think. It might maybe 2, but the key is the Senate count. And they're already talking about when we do get back in control. I would like to say if you ever get back in control, but their opinion is when we get back in control, we will do everything we can. We will stack the court. We will stack the Senate. And right now they're crying foul if Trump and McConnell move forward with a nominee before the election is decided. You got to keep in mind, I think something like 50%+ of the nation will have had the opportunity to vote prior to actually November 3rd. Over the weekend, former Attorney General Eric Holder weighed in. And he said, if Republicans do succeed in confirming a replacement for Justice Ginsburg, appointed by Trump, he said a future Democrat Senate majority, along with Joe Biden, if he's elected president, should consider court reform. which you just heard Senator Barrasso say, Ginsburg herself said 9 is the right number. You start adding to that number, you become extremely politicized in your Supreme Court nominees, as if we aren't already to some extent. But for Holder, no, the way to get even, get ahead, actually, add justices. Here's his statement. You would put in place, if this allowed to happen, a 6-3 court, talking about if Trump gets a nomination through before the election or before he leaves office if he's defeated. Holder says, if this is allowed to happen, you have a 6-3 court with all the issues. You would have a conservative majority or illegitimate conservative majority on a court ruling on the matters that affect the nation for generations to come. He said, so I think if in fact they're successful in placing a justice on the court, Democrats have to do this. They have to assume Biden is president. There's a Senate majority for the Democrats. We need to think about every court opportunity and reform at a minimum. As part of that package, we would add additional justices to the U.S. Supreme Court. That's stacking the court. And then, of course, stacking the Senate. You make D.C. a state, you know they're going to be Democrat senators. Well, the progressives are already lining up another option. And this, once again, involves the I word, impeachment, still to come.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Walk out the door, just turn around now, but you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to hurt me with your spy? Did you think I'd crumble? Did you think I'd lay down and die? Oh, no, not I. I will survive.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The Democrats have a full-time war room. They have been campaigning on this promise. And the thing that really is telling to me is, and you showed the video today of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez at a press conference with Chuck Schumer. I will tell you, anybody that's followed Chuck Schumer for a long time knows he doesn't like to share the camera or the microphone with anyone. She is the de facto Speaker of the House because Nancy Pelosi is terrified of her, and Chuck Schumer is worried about a primary from her in 2 years in New York. She is running the Democrat Party and wants to run it further and further to the left.
The words of Wyoming Senator Barrasso appearing on Fox. And as he pointed out, AOC is positioning herself to be the next Speaker of the House. And as he said, Chuck Schumer does not dare speak out against her and is even willing to share his time in front of the cameras and the microphone, because otherwise you might have AOC decide to run for Chuck Schumer's seat as Senate. And AOC has said the House, quote, must consider all options to block the Trump administration from passing through a nominee of the Supreme Court to fill the vacancy of Ginsburg. Options include impeachment, to impeach President Trump and our Attorney General Bill Barr. The gameplay would be like this. They have control of the House. They can rush through an impeachment. And once you deliver the articles of impeachment to the Senate is duty-bound to stop doing anything and everything except focus on the impeachment. So if they're doing that, then they supposedly can't do confirmation of a Supreme Court nominee. Looking at the words from White House Deputy Press Secretary Morgenstern stated, not only AOC, but Pelosi had made the same thoughts about the impeachment, slamming her comments as bizarre and dangerous, saying the speaker threatened to impeach the president again for simply fulfilling his constitutional obligation. Senator Ted Cruz is saying and urging lawmakers to nominate and confirm a Supreme Court justice before the November 3rd presidential election. Otherwise, you have a constitutional crisis if the seat is vacant. His point, we cannot have Election Day come and go with a 4-4 court. He said, I think we risk a constitutional crisis if we don't have a 9-justice Supreme Court, especially since we will probably have a contested election. That's a big point to consider. A very big point. By the way, of course, in the past, Cruz had been suggested as a nominee for the Supreme Court. I thought he would be a great member of the Supreme Court. But he says, no, I want to stay in politics. I think I can be doing a better job here than on the U.S. Supreme Court. But Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says if the president sends us a nomination, we'll move it quickly to the floor of the U.S. Senate. And the president says he will make that nomination, name someone, before the end of this week, as Saturday being the closing day. Maybe Friday, maybe Saturday. And then we also have those on the left gearing up for anything and everything they can do outside impeachment. We're going to get in that in the last segment. But coming back in the next segment, a closer look at Ruth Bader Ginsburg and what she did and what she didn't do and what she believed and what she didn't believe. She is a Supreme Court icon, no doubt about that. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Larry Connors USA.
So when I graduated from law school in 1959, there was not a single woman on any federal bench. It would not be a realistic ambition for a woman to want to become a federal judge. It was not realistic until Jimmy Carter became our president. He looked around at the federal judiciary and said, that's nice, but they all look like me. So I am determined to appoint members of minority groups and women in numbers to the federal bench, so we will use the talent of all of the people of the United States and not just some of them.
Those are the words of now past Supreme Court Justice Ginsburg, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, in a piece she did for the History Channel. Bill Clinton did nominate Ginsburg as the Associate Justice of the Supreme Court, June 22, 1993, to fill the seat vacated by retiring Justice Byron White. She had been recommended to Clinton by then U.S. Attorney General Janet Reno. And that was actually based on suggestion by Utah Republican Senator Orrin Hatch. At the time of her nomination, Ginsburg was considered a moderate. Clinton was trying to increase the court's diversity. Ginsburg coming aboard as a woman, also the first Jewish justice since the 1969 resignation of Justice Abe Fortas. and becoming the second female and first Jewish female. She eventually became the longest-serving Jewish justice. One of the issues she faced at that time, and is still a big issue now, is abortion. She had an interesting case that is almost ironic to an extent. If you focus just on it's a woman's right to make the decision to have or not have her child, then it's not that ironic. But if you look at her as being a supporter of women's rights, and generally women's rights and choice goes to the side of abortion, not having a baby. Ginsburg dealt with a case when she was a lower court with a woman who was in the Army who became pregnant in the 70s. And the Army had basically told her that you have to have an abortion or we will kick you out of the military. And so the case found its way to Ginsburg's desk at that point. So here, Ginsburg is defending the woman's right, but ironically also the statement and decision goes against those who are for abortion. She talked about that decision that she made regarding that case on a PBS program.
In that case, we argued three things. One, that this regulation, if you're pregnant, you're out unless you have an abortion, violated the equal protection principle. Because no man was ordered out of service because he had been the partner in the conception. No man was ordered out of service because he was about to become a father.
And she spoke extensively about abortion at that point, which was and still is a critical issue for a Supreme Court justice to answer. And, of course, when Ginsburg got the approval, becoming the second woman on a woman on the Supreme Court, following Sandra Day O'Connor, who had been appointed by Ronald Reagan, then it did change the makeup of the court. Now we have two women and another Jewish religion represented since the resignation of Justice Abe Fortas. During her confirmation, Ginsburg also answered questions about other issues, such as reaffirming her belief, constitutional right to privacy. Ginsburg's name came up during the confirmation process of John Roberts. Now, she was not the first nominee to avoid answering specific certain questions before Congress, but as a young attorney in 81, Roberts had advised Supreme Court nominees giving specific responses. So some conservative commentators and senators invoked what they called then the Ginsburg precedent. In a September 28, 2005 speech at Wake Forest University, Ginsburg said Roberts' refusal to answer questions during his Senate confirmation hearings on some cases was, quote, unquestionably right. In other words, standing by constitutional right to privacy on some issues and some thought processes. She was an icon and a proponent, obviously, for women's rights, clearly. And again, when she was going through confirmation, there was a question raised about her belief about, you know, if you were going to make a decision, are you basing it on a woman's right? Are you making it on other issues, and particularly the abortion issue, which we were just discussing? Because in the military case, the woman wanted to have the baby, and the military was saying you have to be aborted, it has to be aborted if you're going to stay in the military. So Ginsburg was defending the woman's right to keep her baby. And in that PBS program, she spoke additionally about her thoughts about women's rights.
This is something central to a woman's life, to her dignity. It's a decision that she must make for herself. And when government controls that decision for her, she is being treated as less than a fully adult human responsible for her own choices.
And see, that's where the pro-choice advocates latched on to Ginsburg, because even though she had agreed that the woman in the military could keep her child and did not have to undergo an abortion, it got back to women's rights. It wasn't any flip-flop on her part, but it was all surrounded on the issue or by the women's rights argument. The woman can decide to have the baby or not have the baby, but the government should not tell them they can't. Well, of course, that's where we often come to a parting of the road. The government is not telling women at this point, you can't have a baby. They do that in China and other communist-type countries. And the government is not saying you have to have the baby. Abortion is available, but should be a state decision as opposed to a federal law. And the fear from the left is if Trump gets to appoint someone to replace Ginsburg and her philosophy, and they are not only nominated but confirmed by the Senate before the election, that will be another blow against Roe v. Wade. Although a couple of the potential women that he's talked about, that he's been considering, have suggested that they're not sure that they're going to go one way or the other, they would have to see the case itself. Senator Paul Simon, Illinois senator at that time, when Ginsburg was facing her confirmation hearing, raised a question. Let's go once again to this PBS documentary.
Finally, Senator Paul Simon of Illinois asked Ginsburg how she would deal with the potential isolation of being on the Supreme Court.
Have you reflected on this at all, either in your present tenure or future tenure, and how can this nominee make sure that she stays in touch with the real problems people have out there?
One of the things that I've done every other year with my law clerks, more often if they are so inclined, is we visit the local jail, the D.C. jail, Lawton Penitentiary, which is the nearest penitentiary. I do that to expose myself to those conditions, and also for my law clerks, who most of them will go on to practice in large law firms and corporate business and won't see the law as it affects most people. So, well, that's one of the things that I do to stay in touch.
That was an interesting point. Well, the battle lines are clearly drawn. The sides are ramping up. We'll take a break, and when we come back, let's break down how the opposition to appointing a nominee before the election is doing.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA.
So you have Democrats crying out that it was going to be hypocritical for the Republicans to confirm a Trump nominee to the U.S. Supreme Court just weeks before an election when they refused to hold a hearing, even hold a hearing for Merrick Garland, nominated by Obama after Scalia's death in February of 2016, long before the November election in 2016. And that is correct. Democrats at that time, Republicans were saying we want to wait and see, let the next president do it. And so they were holding off the Democrats. Two GOP senators currently, Collins of Maine, Murkowski of Alaska, have said they do not think the Senate should vote on a nominee before the election this time, because they say that standard was set when Republicans blocked Garland. And, of course, many want to point to what was Ruth Bader Ginsburg's decision. Her granddaughter is saying, we don't have any confirmation notes or anything of that nature, but saying that my grandmother felt that there should not be anyone named to fill her vacancy until after the election. And this is in the closing days or weeks that she knew she was going to die. Again, her granddaughter saying, my grandmother did not want anyone confirmed before the election. Let it happen after the election. Well, if you're going to have the Democrats calling out the Republicans as being hypocritical, you have to say the same about Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Because if you go back to 2016, when Obama is trying to get Scalia replaced by Merrick Garland, Democrats had no problem with him moving forward at that point, and neither did Ginsburg. In a 2016 New York Times interview, she said, there's nothing in the Constitution that says the president stops being the president in his last year. So she was all for it. Both sides have flip-flopped now because the prize is on the other side. I'll go back to my opening monologue in case you missed it, and I will say again that my opinion then, in 2016, is that we should wait until after the election. And I still stand by that. Yes, I would like to see Trump make the nomination and have it confirmed. But I'm not going to sway simply on the politics that this time it's a Republican opportunity versus a Democrat opportunity. I still say after the election. But there's a case to be made that this is different. And the clear difference is that Obama held the White House, Democrats held the White House, Republicans held the Senate at that time. This time, the Senate is held by Republicans, as is the White House. And I agree with Wyoming Senator Barrasso, if the shoe were on the other foot, if the Democrats held both the White House and the Senate, they wouldn't be talking about waiting until after the election. They've been holding vigils in D.C. since the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She will lie in repose at the Supreme Court this Wednesday and Thursday. I'm looking at a piece written by Federalist writer A.K. Austin at one of the vigils taking place over the weekend. And he begins by saying, in fact, it's titled, In D.C., Ruth Bader Ginsburg Vigil Speakers Prep for Kavanaugh 2.0. In other words, they're going to go after whoever the nominee is that Trump picks and try to label that person as a sex fiend and a rapist as they did with Kavanaugh. Trump's going to nominate a woman. Now, how's that going to play out for the left? The article for the Federalist, A.K. Austin, also writes, in the wake of Supreme Court Justice Ginsburg's death, Senators Warren of Massachusetts and Gillibrand of New York quickly signaled how vicious the last 2 months of this election season will be. He said much of it felt not so much as a vigil, but a political rally. As Senators Warren and Gillibrand had harsh words for President Trump and McConnell's announcement they're going to attempt to fill the vacancy before the election. Senator Warren is quoted as saying, "Today, Mitch McConnell and his henchmen believe they can ram through a Supreme Court justice only 45 days from the election." And Senator Gillibrand accusing Trump of hating half the country and wanting it to burn. As I said earlier, if you thought we've seen chaos, you ain't seen nothing yet. This election year was going to be already at a maximum frequency. But we've blown through that. We're warp speed now for the next 40 plus days to November. And everything is in play. And I'll try to keep you abreast of it as we move through the next few days. Let your friends and family know we're here. I think they'd enjoy hearing the program. If you missed it, you want to share it with them, the programs are posted at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Back tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.